I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Thursday, June the 16th, 2016. I'm your host, Brad Locke, flying solo today, basically. W. Derek Russell, my co-host, is out today, so he kind of left me hanging here. It's just me and Maggie, the intern, just chilling out in the studio, trying to knock out a podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Be kind of a short podcast today because, y'all don't want to hear me talk for 40 minutes. And actually, a shorter podcast might be kind of a welcome change. I don't know. But hopefully, Derek will be back on Monday. But we've got a show for you today. Got a couple of people we're going to speak with. By the way, before we move on, I need to remind y'all to follow the show on Twitter. You can follow at DJournalMemo, and of course, you can listen to us on iTunes, your podcast app, or stream online at memo.djournal.com. Reminding you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check them out on North Gloucester. First guest in here, it's Caleb Bedillion again. Hey, buddy, welcome back.
Hey, I'm going to be a pretty familiar face around here.
Yes, indeed, and a familiar voice as well. You had a story today, Caleb, about this grant that Tupelo received, going to enhance some safety features for a couple of the railroad crossings in the downtown area. I mean, it's an $850,000 grant. And how did they end up getting this grant? I know they had to apply for it, and there were several cities that applied, weren't there?
Right. It's an MDOT program, the Transportation Alternatives Program. It's basically they use this to fund different kind of transportation infrastructure related projects besides roads, basically. It's kind of encouraging cities to attend to other kinds of transportation infrastructure besides just, you know, adding new lanes to roads like that. We in Tupelo have the major thoroughfare program for that. So they applied in January. It's a competitive grant. The Northern District Transportation Commissioner, Mike Taggart, estimates that conservatively 75 to 80 municipalities applied for this grant. Tupelo, he said, the city's application was in the top five of all applications. He really praised the city's application. What's going to happen is the city's going to get enough money to upgrade safety features and pedestrian access at two railroad crossings in the city. Now, what officials tell me is they're going to target the South Spring Street crossing. That's before you get to...
That's between Clark and Elliott.
That's right. It's between Clark and Elliott. And then you've got also the Clark crossing itself, which is quite near there.
Right.
So we'll get swing arms that go up and down at these crossings. We'll get enhanced flashing lights. You'll have kind of a paved concrete surface between the rails. So if you walk across, you're not, you know, stepping in the gravel and everything.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a little bit of sidewalk on either side of the crossing. So what Commissioner Taggart told me is this was really attractive to MDOT because it helps pedestrians. It does help drivers because it makes those crossings safer, and it also helps the rail because if it's safer for cars, then it's safer for rail as well, cutting down the chance of any unfortunate or tragic collisions.
And these would be considered side streets. I mean, when you see the big arms that come down, you normally, I guess, just off the top of my head, it seems like you mainly see those more on just the major thoroughfares. I mean, you don't have it at Crosstown, but that's a different kind of intersection.
That's a huge intersection.
But definitely a safety thing, and not only that, it's going to, as Mayor Shelton said, it's kind of bringing them a step closer to being as he calls it, a connected community.
Right. The way those crossings are, there are other sidewalks in the vicinity, and so since they get a little bit of money for additional sidewalk, this is going to kind of allow them to extend those sidewalks. So it's not going to be like a crossing with a sidewalk to nowhere.
Right.
The sidewalks that are going to get built at these crossings will actually go to other sidewalks. And one thing it will do is help connect Mill Village. So if you live in Mill Village, you'll now be able to go out onto Spring Street, pick up a sidewalk, and then you could walk all the way into downtown on a nice paved pedestrian pathway, which is a novelty in some deep South cities.
Yeah, sidewalk to nowhere. I think I may write a novel by that title. Sounds pretty pretty good.
There was a bit of controversy a couple years ago. The U.S. Congress was funding a bridge in Alaska. There was some pork, so-called, you know, pork spending for a so-called bridge to nowhere.
Yeah. Nice. So the city will have to pay some of the costs.
That's right. It's an 80-20 grant. That means MDOT provides 80% of the funds, but as a requirement, the city must provide 20% of the needed project cost.
Okay.
So MDOT's 80% share will go up to $850,000. And so once you add in the city share, total project cost is just a little bit over $1 million.
Okay. Okay. Well, good stuff, Caleb. You can read the story in today's journal or over at djournal.com and give Caleb a follow on Twitter at Caleb Bedillion. Caleb, thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps every Wednesday, talking high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. You can listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Had a new episode drop yesterday, so go give it a listen. Check it out. And also, Double Coverage, MSU and Ole Miss Sports Talk with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. Normally every Thursday. This week the guys are having to delay things a bit, so that will go up on Friday this week. So listen for it Friday on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We've recently removed our paywall, so djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products, ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. So visit djournal.com to stay informed of the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place, djournal.com. Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. An elderly Lowndes County man drowned in the lake at Tom Bigby State Park on Wednesday afternoon. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson said the death appears to be an accident. Foul play is not suspected. Lee County Coroner Carolyn Green identified the man Wednesday night as Robert Wigley, 69, of Columbus. Johnson said it appears the man was either trying to load or unload his boat, and it got away from him, and the man tried to swim out after it. After receiving a 911 call, the sheriff's office, in conjunction with the Department of Wildlife and the Tupelo Fire Department, searched the lake until about 3 p.m., when the search crews recovered the body. Boonville Mayor Derek Blythe calls his city's new compressed natural gas fueling station a win-win situation. Boonville already has 14 vehicles using compressed natural gas, and the city is waiting to convert the 15th over to the dual fuel system. The engines crank using gasoline, but once the engine warms up, it switches over to natural gas. Blythe said the benefits of natural gas are that engines run cooler and cleaner, it's better for the environment, and it's cheaper than gasoline. The mayor said the city pays about $9,000 a month in fuel costs and expects that figure to drop significantly in the coming months. The fueling station, located on Veterans Drive just east of Jacinto Road, will allow the city to take advantage of the lower-cost fuel. Once the pump is certified accurate by the state, the city will be able to start selling natural gas to private citizens and companies. A former corrections officer in Alcorn County allegedly worked with an inmate to bring contraband into the correctional facility and was arrested Tuesday. Tanya Lynn Sego, 43, of Corinth, had been employed with the Alcorn County Regional Correctional Facility since January. She is charged with conspiracy to introduce contraband to a correctional facility and is currently out of jail on a $10,000 bond. Sego was terminated immediately, according to Sheriff Ben Caldwell. Sego allegedly worked with an inmate to bring cell phones and other contraband into the facility. Caldwell said the other contraband is not being listed publicly at this time. The inmate Sego allegedly worked with will also be charged. Today's show brought to you by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at South. Got the new chef, Nick Rice, has been on board since last April. So they got a new lunch and dinner menu, and they've also got weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. And don't forget, South is home to the only Bellini Mimosa Bar in Tupelo every Saturday. And you can check out happy hour specials each weeknight. Trivia beginning at 7 o'clock every Wednesday. The winner of that gets a $50 gift card. It's Thursday. That means it's movie review day with Mr. M. Scott Morris. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Good morning, old sir. I meant young sir. Excuse me.
I'm still younger than you, buddy.
That's not a high bar.
For now. Yeah, well. Anyway.
For now, let's hope it stays that way. Let's hope you stay younger than me.
I hope so, too, Scott.
I'm not going to quit.
For both our sakes. You reviewed, it's Now You See Me Too. I haven't seen the first one, so you were not high on it. What about the second one? Does it get any better? Let's just cut right to the chase, Scott.
You know, the first, my problem was the way it ended.
Okay.
I was kind of with it throughout much of it. I was a little bit annoyed that I felt like at times they used camera tricks instead of actual magic tricks. And I think they did a really good job in this movie of, like, using magic tricks.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they did a lot of, I mean, actual magic. It wasn't camera.
Yeah, and they actually tell you how they do a bunch of it. They show it, which, quite frankly, that can annoy some people. I can see that. But a lot of things that they share, you can just do a quick internet search and see. I mean, basically, professional magicians are well beyond the stuff that they show you.
Yeah.
And there was one scene, though, to where when I saw the trailer, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, like Jesse Eisenberg's character stops the rain and then makes the rain go up. And you think, well, how the heck is he doing that? And when I saw how they did, they showed a little thing. I mean, it's really a magic trick. You can see, like, at Spencer Gifts or something like that over the years. And I remember seeing it. And it's just about the way the light flashes and catches it. And they tell you that in the movie. And it's like, well, that's a quality of science that you can find online pretty quickly. It's not a secret.
Yeah.
It's just it's a trick.
Yeah. I'm sure the internet has just made a lot of magicians angry because there's always going to be somebody that
right.
reveals.
But at the same time, you got guys like Penn and Teller. They'll show you the tricks. I mean, they're the easy ones, so that you can't figure out the hard ones.
Right, right.
So I enjoyed that because it made me just think, well, that they're actually using real magic tricks, real magic being in quotes, real magic, quote unquote, tricks instead of CGI effects.
Right.
So that was good,
and
a lot of it was good, but at the same time, the movie, I think, lacked heart. They tried to inject some heart into it, but I really just, at the end, I just realized I don't really have much emotional connection with these people. It's really just the story is about a lot of moving parts, and that can be fine, but when they try to inject emotion and it doesn't really work, it's kind of like, I don't know, I just felt away from the action a little bit.
Yeah.
And then in the end, everything has to become bigger and better and bigger and better, but then the FBI would not be running around with guns drawn, giving orders on the streets of London.
The FBI can do what they want. Come on.
No, the CIA can do what they want. The FBI has follow rules.
Yeah.
The CIA can do whatever they want over there. But the FBI, though, no, not quite.
Okay.
It's the and so little things like that, I give it a C minus.
Yeah.
I was entertained for parts, but I wasn't too emotionally involved in it. And then with little stupid moments like that, I have to detract major league points.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a heck of a cast, though. You got Woody Harrelson, you got Jesse Eisenberg, you got Morgan Freeman, you've got
Mark Ruffalo.
You've got Harry Potter. Hey, he's in it.
Daniel Radcliffe.
It was just kind of a cool casting choice.
He's in a movie called Swiss Army Man that opens this weekend.
I'm curious about that one.
He plays a dead body.
Yeah, but it becomes, in the preview, it looks like it becomes reanimated.
Yeah, he speaks,
and there's a lot of flatulence involved.
A lot of flatulence and all that, but I was told, he promised on Stephen Colbert that it's actually a very heartwarming movie. So anyway.
I guess. One of those movies I've seen the previews. I'm like, I can't decide if this is going to be really dumb or really good.
I don't know if it will come to Tupelo or not, so we may not have to worry about
it. Didn't Rupert Grint, many years ago, make a movie involving flatulence? I can't remember what it was called.
I do not know.
It was right after the first couple of Harry Potters came out, and it looked like a dumb movie. I can't remember what it was called, but anyway. And it would be great, though, what they should have done with this.
What?
Was had Daniel Radcliffe play Harry Potter.
He's
doing real magic where they're just doing, you know, pretend magic.
Imagine how much money that would have cost. J.K. Rowling would have made $1 billion off of this movie. Rowling.
She's got so much money, she'd been fine with it.
I don't think she'd want to put John Chu, director, in charge of her, of her character.
Because if you do the math, Harry Potter at this point would be around our age, in his early 40s, maybe. I'm trying to think. He finished up Hogwarts in,
well, thank you.
What was it, 96?
I have fond memories of my early 40s.
Mid-90s. So 20-something years ago. So he'd probably be late 30s. My daughter could tell you, Trinity, because she knows his birthday and what year he was born and all that stuff.
Well, I want to ask you a serious thing.
Sure.
How is Maggie Dunn in charge of the podcast
Dude,
this week?
Dude, we've been getting the podcast put out by like 2 o'clock or sooner every day. Quicker.
Is it because she's on methamphetamines?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I sure
she
hope not.
Not have any kind of extra help with the
work. I don't think she would have gotten hired if that happened. No. Well, let's be honest. Chris Kiefer, when he's here, he does have a lot of stuff to do.
He does.
And Maggie's doing good work, though.
Fantastic. This is your last one helming, I guess. Chris will be back next week.
Chris will be back Monday.
So we can crack the whip a little harder.
She's done. Yeah. But, I mean, she's been doing so good. We kind of told Chris, hey,
enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, just stay a while if you need to. We got this. Maggie's got it. Anyway, sorry to go off on the Harry Potter thing. We did that yesterday with Lauren.
Lauren
and I, we went on a Harry Potter tangent.
I wouldn't allow it to go that long. Because my job here is to make the podcast great again. Like America.
Okay.
Anyways, podcast great again.
So this movie is not so great. Was the first one better, you'd say, aside from the ending?
I give it a... They both have their points. I mean, I have lingering ill feelings toward the first one just because of the way it ended. Yeah. I thought, but my dad, who also saw it, said, not so bad.
Yeah, well, I'm a sucker for magic, so I'd probably watch it and enjoy
it.
You
know, if you have Comcast, it's on demand for free. I mean, there might be some commercials in between it, but it's on. I mean, it was on this past weekend.
Okay.
I'd already seen it, but I'd pay to see it on demand a while ago.
Okay. All right, well, y'all can read Scott's review in today's journal or at djournal.com. And follow Scott on Twitter at mscottmorris.
That's me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, like I mentioned at the top of the show, Derek Russell not here. Normally what he would do here is go through the scene section, let you know what's going on this weekend. So since he's not here, I'll just kind of make a quick hit of it here. You can, again, find the scene section in today's journal or find some of the stuff on djournal.com. In particular, a nice story he has about the late Gumtree Festival co-founder. Really cool story there about Gus Staub. And got a guest column from Jonathan Martin, the guy that actually directed the play that Derek, Lauren, and I were in a few months ago. But as far as what's going on this weekend, opening tonight at the Tupelo Community Theater, we've got the summer youth production of Cinderella. So that's this weekend. It opens at the Lyric at 7:30. You can call 844-1935 for tickets. In New Albany, you've got Marcella and Her Lovers. They're performing at that 11 Amp music series that we talked about, I think it was last week. We had a good interview about that with Sean Johnson, that music series ongoing throughout the summer. So that's Saturday at 8 o'clock. Opening act will be Hannah Starr at 7. For more info, you can go to visitnewalbany.com/summerofmusic. And this is kind of cool. Out at the Natchez Trace Parkway on Saturday, kids and their families can come out to do some what they call fish printing, 10 a.m. at the Visitor Center. It's a 45-minute program that helps kids discover some of the fish that live in the water around the Natchez Trace. So you can make your own colorful fish art using paints and paper, or bring your own T-shirt to decorate. For more info, call 1-800-305-7417. So that's what's going on, my friends, and that's it for today's episode of The Memo, which is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can listen to us a variety of ways on iTunes, your podcast app, or stream it on your browser at memo.djournal.com. Going to check out all the news, entertainment, and sports you need to know about Northeast Mississippi over at djournal.com and follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at bradlock. And that is it, my friends. We will be back on Monday. Hopefully Derek Russell will be with us as well. Maggie, nice job this week of producing the show. Chris Kiefer, a.k.a. Chiefer, he'll be back on Monday. I guess we'll let him come back in and do this. I mean, Maggie's done such a good job. I don't know. You know, Chris could just stay down in Louisiana for a little while longer if you needed to. I think Maggie's got this. But until then, I hope you all have a great weekend, a safe weekend. We'll see you Monday.